On this first Sunday of Lent, we always have this story of Jesus going out 40 days into the wilderness after his baptism. We've just seen the Holy Spirit come down upon him, and then it says that he went with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, into the desert, there to be tempted. I think there's a good lesson in this for us, to see that the devil is always going to be hanging around. He's always got his temptations. No doubt in these first weeks of Lent, you've probably encountered them too. I always find the beginning of Lent is the hardest, because all those things that we've given up, it seems like everything I think I see becomes a piece of chocolate to me these days. Because, like, no, we'll wait for Easter. And pretty soon it'll get easier because you just get used to it. But, boy, there's always temptation, and we've got all these desires that are always pulling us. We have to be careful that during Lent, the point is not so much that we suppress our desires, but more that we bring them under our control a little bit more, what we would call discipline, that we can be the ones in control of our desires. Particularly in our gospel today, there are three particular ways that are mentioned that the devil tries to tempt even God with these natural human desires, but that can so easily be misapplied. Look first, it says that he tempts Jesus to try to turn a stone into bread. Well, that refers to not probably just physical hunger. Jesus would have been physically hungry, but all the desires we have that we might call physical desires, desire for food, desire for pleasure in any way. We know how the devil tries to get us with that. Even if it's just the comfort and kind of pride of life that I don't want to be bothered. I'm comfortable where I'm at. We like physical pleasure. The devil knows that too. And there's nothing wrong with physical pleasure. There's nothing wrong with being hungry and having a good meal or enjoying the things that God has given us in this world. But if it gets disordered, all of a sudden we start to chase physical pleasure as if it was God, as if it could make us happy. Notice Jesus' very careful response. He doesn't say, no, eating is not necessary. He says, it's not the greatest thing. Man does not live by bread alone, but as we heard, every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Jesus has it in the right priority. I mean, he's just fasted for 40 days. He's hungry, but even then he's able to say, no, I'm in control. I need my Heavenly Father even more than I need bread after 40 days. What ways are maybe our physical desires, our desires for comfort, out of whack a little bit? That's part of what Lent is about, to bring that back under our control, to subordinate it to the higher good. Secondly, the devil comes at Jesus, and it says he takes him up and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. I think this is indicative of our temptation and our fallenness towards power and control. Jesus is tempted to be the most powerful person in the world, according to the devil. The devil says, this has all been given to me. I can give it to whomever I wish. We've got to stop and think for a second. We know that the devil is not the most powerful person in the world. God is. And so if would God give to the devil something that is of most importance? No. To some extent, just in that, we could say, gosh, if this has all been handed over to Satan, it can't be the greatest good. And indeed, it's not. But how often do we then spend our life chasing power, prestige? We want to climb the ladder a little bit higher, and so oftentimes what do? We try to put everybody else down, whether it's climbing the corporate ladder or just with gossip, as we try to spread the latest, maybe truth, maybe even untruth about people. We think that somehow we will become more powerful, more influential. We want to put ourselves in the right circles of people and be considered popular. All this the devil knows, that we are weak, and we have this disordered desire sometimes for power. Notice that Jesus, again, gets it right. No, worship God alone. All the kingdoms of the world matter nothing compared to worshiping the one true God. In what ways do we maybe worship false gods through desiring increased power or influence in the world? How can we make ourselves meek and humble, as Jesus describes himself. Finally, it says that the devil led him to Jerusalem and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said, "Okay, if you're God, throw yourself down." I think this is maybe a bit of a stretch, but I think one of the other ways that the devil is tempting Jesus here and tempting us is this fascination with celebrity. Sure, Jesus is God, but the devil's essentially asking him to make a show of it. Yeah, throw yourself down and the angels will come and get you, as if, you know, Jesus' identity is wrapped up in Jesus' flying circus or something. Jesus knows who he is. He doesn't need to prove it to the devil. But look at how many people spend their whole lives trying to become famous. Or we idolize the people who we do consider famous. We look at what we see on TV and we think, well, that's real life, this sensationalism. We look at athletes and movie stars and say, I want to be like them. There's this wounded temptation in us to think that we need to be famous, to be important. One of the things I see in all of these temptations, notice what the devil does. He says, if you are the Son of God. Well, does Jesus doubt that he's the Son of God? No. Jesus knows exactly who he is. That's why he doesn't have to give in to these temptations. When do we give in to physical pleasures? And probably when we're feeling down, we're doubting who we are maybe a little bit. That's why we try to put everybody else down, because we're not really so sure who we are. And most especially, we want to be famous because maybe we doubt a little bit that we already are famous. Famous in God's eyes. That's the celebrity that we need. Lent is a good time to just humbly acknowledge that the devil, if he tempts Jesus this way, he's going to tempt us this way. And in more, probably, than just these three ways. Whenever I read this passage each year, I always kind of chuckle a little bit when Jesus goes 40 days in the wilderness and it says, and he ate nothing during those 40 days, and when it was over, he was hungry. I'm like, thank you, Mr. Inspired Writer of Scripture, as if we needed someone to tell us that Jesus was hungry after 40 days. But I think the key here is it goes deeper than that. What is Jesus hungry for? For what does Jesus hunger, even after 40 days of not eating? I don't think it's any of these three things, not even food or power or celebrity. If we fast forward to the end of our Lenten journey, we see Jesus on the cross. He again tells us, I thirst. Someone famously asked Mother Teresa, who wrote those lines under every cross in her convent, they would write, I thirst, under the cross. And someone asked her, Mother, what does Jesus thirst for? She said, he thirsts for you. He thirsts for souls. I think in the same way, we can say that when Jesus comes out of the wilderness, he's hungry. It's not for bread. He's hungry for us. He's ready now to begin his public ministry. He's about to go give his life for the next 3 years to convert us, to save us from these temptations that he knows the devil is going to bring. Jesus is hungry for us. He wants our souls. And I think he wants us to hunger for him. All these desires are not bad, but this Lent, maybe we can humbly ask Jesus, help me to put them in the right order. Help me above all, Jesus. Not that I wouldn't have desires, not that I wouldn't be hungry, but Jesus, this Lent, help me as much as you were hungry when you came out of the wilderness. Help me to be hungry for you.